we even dive in. Sport, right?
Definitely a sport.
So if I'm the
in the book that we're about to discuss, the chapter that's called The Definition of Sport, it has a basketball right on top of it. So that's the little icon on that chapter page.
There it is. So for the layman, of course, my son plays baseball. My daughter's a gymnast. I'm automatically going to think those are sports activities where they're exerting energy. They're on a team. But you are essentially, for any sport or what people call sport, you basically have a guide for everyone if it's sport or if it's not. So as a layperson, what is sport?
So sport is basically a human activity that requires a certain level of physicality. And that physicality, we can talk about this in a little more detail, but basically it's a combination of athletic attributes that has no pre-existing competitive context has a pre-existing competitive context. So I'll say it differently. If an activity has a pre-existing non-competitive context, it's not a sport. So it's a little clunky, but I think some of the best examples are something like cycling. So cycling in its first purpose, it's a sort of an original purpose test. Its first purpose was transportation. That's how you got around. So just because we subsequently overlay a competitive context on it doesn't transform it into a sport. So the people at home aren't going to be able to see you cracking up the physical reaction you're having to this. So the other one, another one, I'm going to get to the quintessential one. The other one is race car driving, right? So a lot of people, and this kind of goes to your sort of intro, I think our natural instinct is to say sport, whether something is sport or not, sort of turns on the amount of athleticism or physicality required. And I think that's a reasonable sort of reaction, but we get all messed up because, and you use the word energy. There's so many things that require physicality. So, you know, building a house.
Not a sport.
Being a firefighter, being a lumberjack, jumping out of airplanes, okay? There's a ton of things that we can think of. I mean, this sounds great. Being a garbage man. I mean, there are tons of things that require strength and quickness or speed, you know, fast twitch.
Right.
And so, but in the book, I talk about the lumberjack games, but when we sort of overlay a competitive context on those, it sort of looks strange. Right. And so you say like, well, felling a tree, it's way harder than playing volleyball, right?
True.
That's not to disparage volleyball, but it doesn't feel like a sport. So what happens is we start trying to artificially belittle things that you can't actually belittle for their physicality, right? And so this takes us full circle back to like NASCAR. What happens is, instead of just admitting that race car drivers require a bunch of stamina and eye-hand coordination, all that kind of stuff, you start sort of trying to denigrate the activity. But what we're really balking at is driving is the force superimposition of a competitive context. Now, NASCAR is not a sport, not because it's not hard or it's not physical. It wasn't competitive in the first instance. So I think the quintessential example is surfing. So there's, other than something like free solo climbing, there's almost nothing more physically and athletically demanding than surfing, right? I mean, you and I have hit a lot of baseballs in our lives. You've hit way more baseballs at a much higher level than I've hit. But sort of the old trope is, you know, there's no harder sort of athletic skill than hitting a baseball, right? That's like a very common sort of mantra. And absolutely. I'm not even really trying to debate it. But like, but if you surf like a rogue giant wave and you don't know what you're doing, you die, right? Like you don't die when you miss a fastball. When you don't perform surfing properly, you die.
Oh.
Right? Or free solo climbing. If you like think about that vis-a-vis your grandmother playing volleyball. This is all from the book, but you know, your grandmother can play volleyball at a barbecue. I mean, your aunt, you know, like your Aunt Pearl can play volleyball. She looks bad. She's not good at it, but she can play it. Your grandma would die instantaneously trying to free solo climb or surfing, right? So the athleticism required of those things is off the charts. In some sense, it's not even in the same ballpark as sort of our conventional sports. But we look at those things and we're like, that still doesn't feel like what we call sport. And the reason is because they have pre-existing non-competitive contexts. Those are cultural and individualized experiences that are actually in somewhat contrary and anathema to competitive cultures. Like, I mean, both surfing and climbing and sort of other sort of extreme or like adventure sports are very I mean, they're competitive in the sense that people want to perform, but they're very sort of by ethos, they're very communal. And just to be super clear, I've run my mouth here a lot.
No,
the question is in its first iteration, in the first moment that the activity existed, what was its purpose? And if its purpose was non-competitive, then no matter what we turn it into, otherwise, it's never a sport. Now, it's an athletative. That's a word I've come up with to describe and again, for the people at home, you just disappeared out of the out of the camera frame. But it's called an athletative. And so it still is something. And you can gamify these things. We can gamify lumberjack skills. We can put cornhole on ESPN, and we can do whatever. There's a firefighter challenge, and they can exist. They can be competitive. That's not the issue. We just need to get the definitions accurate. That's all my mission is.
So an athletative is an athletative.
Right. So surfing is an athletative.
Wow.
It's not a sport. Right. So the gamified piece comes up. So this instinct to kind of focus on the relative physicality of various events, it's made worse, or the real issue is we live in a game culture. So we want to make competitive everything. So the reason why this definition is so important is if we don't have some clarification about what a sport is, we will literally gamify the whole the whole planet. I mean, in the book, I talk about like, why isn't landscaping a sport? I mean, why couldn't you have, you know, a yard of the month competition that was, you know, that Max Kellerman, you know, is analyzing on some, you know, because it requires skill. You're out there sweating, you're, you know, very physical. So, and we love to do that. I mean, this isn't unique to America. I mean, the Japanese cult, I mean, they make the craziest games out of all kind of stuff. I mean, everything from, you know, they invented, it wasn't Top Chef, but whatever that original like chef show is. So anyway, we live in a game culture, and we kind of got to get our nomenclature straight.
Man, bro.
But But gymnastics is a sport. Gymnastics is a sport, narrowly. Baseball is a sport.
What would have been gymnastics' original purpose?
So it wouldn't. So that's the nice part is, I mean, okay. You have, and we don't need to get, if people want to get a little bit, it gets a little technical. So if they want to get the book, they can get a little bit deeper. But the question sometimes arises for certain types of activities. I mean, all activities are the integration of lesser human bodily movements, right? I mean, football is running plus carrying plus tackling plus its other rules, right? So it's a bunch of things. So gymnastics, I mean, there's certain movements that gymnastics, whether it's dance or strength conditioning, it borrows from some other traditions. So the question are the events in gymnastics sort of fully integrated enough to constitute something new and different and competitive when gymnastics was designed? And the answer to that, I think, is unequivocally yes. The other issue is sports. So the main point of the book, the reason I wrote the book, is this pre-existing non-competitive context test. I mean, that's like the fundamental insight, but you do have to define the other elements of sport. And one of them is, does it have, they're called constitutive and regulative, but does it have the rules necessary to define play and then also to identify a victor? And so I do think that things like gymnastics, even boxing to a certain extent, but things that where the participants are subject surfing to a great extent, where they've subjected themselves to sort of an adjudication that has a lot of subjectivity to it. So, you know, judges are basically trying to analyze. I think that's a dangerous place to be. But one of the personal realizations I came to in writing the book is that is another red herring. So we don't eliminate sports because we don't like the way they're set up. If participants, if voluntarily agree to a set of rules that identify a victor and establish play, then that's sort of enough. And we can't sort of question, you know, if they're willing to submit to sort of that specific type of adjudication. Anyway, all to say, gymnastics was a little bit of a hard case. I don't think it's actually a close call. It's just a little bit of a hard case because it's kind of unique in some of its attributes. But sport. Wow. So your daughter can sleep peacefully.
Yeah, I need to make sure she hears that.
But this is another clarification. I say this in chapter one. Sport is not better or superior to other activities, including athletics. It's not my goal to continue to belittle and denigrate other activities. They all should be esteemed equally. We just need to call them the right thing. So in the event that you find yourself in the athletic box, that's not something to be ashamed of. That's like a badge of honor. Again, people at home, Coach Harv is now literally prone on his back.
Oh man, bro.
So does that make sense?
So lumberjacking is an athletative.
Well, let's be clear. Lumberjack games. So there's an actual competition on ESPN. Gosh. It was called lumberjack. So lumberjack games are athletative. Lumberjacking is just lumberjacking, right? I don't know what they call it, but lumberjacking is just lumberjacking. But anytime we try to gamify lumberjacking, so like an event where you try to fell a tree in a certain period of time or to shimmy up a, you know, whatever, for all the lumberjacks that listen to your podcast, I don't want to offend anybody, but whatever it is lumberjacks do, if they put it into a competition, that's when it becomes an athletic.
But can never
be a sport.
Never be a sport, but it is, if it's an athletative, it's normally gamified for lumberjack games.
Yeah, so an athletative is the gamification essentially of an activity that has a pre-existing non-competitive context.
Not sport. And that makes actually much sense now that I've heard the long version.
So this is the thing, and there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek in this, but I'm super dead serious about this test, because the reason I felt so compelled to write it is because I think that this actually helps us articulate the subconscious intuition we have. So I think everybody, has these reactions. They just don't know why they're having them. And it's because you're looking at something out of context.
Not a sport.
So I do think that most people I was on another podcast and I've sort of said a lot of the same things, but you know, when I talk to people, they're a little bit of a deficit because I've spent like, you know, 6,000 man hours writing and thinking about this. And they've really, you know, they've only done it sort of side. So I realize people need some time to digest it. But on average, I think most people, when they hear the test, I think it does comport with their intuitions that they previously had that they couldn't quite fully explain.
So do you think, did you go in thinking certain things were sports? Were there any that you were surprised when you went to research? Oh, wow. The number one purpose for this said event was sport.
So
any surprises?
So this is my favorite question because, I kind of brag about it in the book, but I think it does lead, I think it does lend credibility to like the objectivity to which, with which that I try attempted to apply to this process. So I desperately wanted horse racing not to be a sport. So horse racing fails sort of a number of important, and this actually leads to the one thing we haven't talked about yet. Horse racing fails a couple things potentially. So first of all, when I said the definition, it has to be a human activity. So the activity of the human has to predominate. It has to be a super majority, more than 66% of the activity. So it has to predominate in the achievement of the ends of the game. And so there's some question as to whether that's even occurring in a horse race, right? The horse is doing most of the work, right? The other part is, I don't quite care how early we decide to race horses. When we rode a horse in the first instance, it was for it was to move, right? That's why we rode a horse. So for all these reasons, I was like, it's not a sport. But to your question, you know, not all of them, but a good number of them required a little bit of research about obviously the origins of the sport and the Greeks. So there's something called there's a corollary to the definition. It's called the antiquities exception. And the antiquities exception says if it was a sport in antiquity, so that's before 400 AD, wow, then it's a sport in modernity, even if it fails any of the other attributes of it. And the reason why is this goes back to what we talked about earlier. The reason we need the definition is through human history, we've developed sort of this luxury of time that historical man and woman didn't have to literally make everything a game. This goes back to this game culture. But so her historical humanity, they only competed in what they had. That's all that there was. And so there has to be sort of a carve out for whatever they deem sport. And what I found is the Greeks had this place called the Hippodrome. It was sort of like their like Astrodome. And they had horse and rider races that were part of their sport. And I went deep into some archives on this particular issue. And at a number of junctures, I thought I had sort of figured out a way of making it not sport. And I had to throw up my hands to the cosmos and say, look, I'm not the author of this. This has been revealed to me. I'm a humble messenger. Maybe some people call it prophet, but I'm a humble messenger.
Wow.
And if horse racing is a sport, it's a sport. So that was a big, it wasn't just a surprise. It was a disappointment.
So the antiquity,
what antiquities now? Exception. So anything that's a sport in antiquity, again, which is considered, and this is anywhere in the world. It doesn't have to be, Greek or Roman antiquity. It can be any culture on the planet. If it's basically before about 400 or so AD, which is roughly where historians put the modern era. It's a sport in modern. It's a sport today. We have to grandfather them.
Antiquities era, and even if in antiquities, they used it for transportation before competition.
The pre-existing non-competitive context essentially becomes irrelevant. Now, what I do insist on is it has to have been deemed a sport. So, what the antiquities exception can't be, there can't be evidence of like one time to like, you know, Ottoman soldiers like trying to see who could shoot a bow further, and you know, that was like it's a very narrow exception. It has to be like a sort of a recognized sport in that culture, like the Guatemalan sport of cha ball or something like that.
Why? So where can this book, where can we find this book? Audio, is it on audio yet? Is audio coming?
No, there's hardback. So paper? I will probably do a podcast where I just sort of read chapter by chapter. But it's available. It's available in all three formats, ebook, paper book, and hardcover. The ebook and paperback are available on Amazon. Hardback's on barnesandnoble.com. You can't find any in physical stores. So, but you can purchase them at any of those outlets. So,
indeed, man. So along with that, before we
close, and the ebook is $1.99, so it's nothing. So yeah. The paperback's $8.99.
It's basically an encyclopedia for sports.
I mean, it is. This is the guide. I mean, it's a technical. It walks you through all the pieces we've talked about and more, and then sort of applies it to a bunch of cases. And then, but it gives people the equipment to make decisions going forward. Because I mean, sports will be invented, and people will attempt to gamify into sport already existing activities that should only be athletic. So it's like a living document. This isn't like the last word on every activity ever. Right. It's a paradigm. It's a paradigm to apply.
There it is. So, what is sport? It's available now. Is that because are you still doing the Fresh Junket? Is that still up and at 'em?
So I did this. This book actually grew out of that project, the Press Junket, where I was song blogging. I haven't been doing that over the last few years. All of that material is still available. So the Fresh Junket is sort of like my umbrella sort of project where kind of all my self-published and self-generated sort of activities exist, and that of some other people too. And the Press Junket is sort of part of that. So that's just where people can go to kind of see some of my public talks and some of my music and book writing and all that kind of stuff.
Indeed. I recall seeing a TED talk too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I've sort of done 2.5 TED talks. So I did a TED talk originally. I was invited to do one on song blogging, and then I did one on criminal justice reform. And then I actually did a little mini TED talk. I was invited to do basically just a pre-recorded video, and I actually did that one on what is sport. So.
Even as usual, man, and we had this conversation the other day. It's probably just going to be a continuing conversation on different topics that come up, different sports that may come up, or athletics that someone wants to gamify. But I know we're going to do it again. Thank you for taking the time, bro.
I'm always so blessed to be on here, and I'm available as a resource. I think I'm basically the world's leading expert on the definition of sport, because I'm the only person in this space. So if you guys need something resolved, I'm available to resolve it.
Hit him up, man. He's on Instagram. He's on Twitter, I know for sure. Are you on Facebook as well?
I am on Facebook, yeah. And I've been more active there over the last 6 months than I was previously, but I'm on all three. It's Joe Brewer on Facebook. At syntax_DS5 and at the Fresh Junket on Twitter. And then Instagram is at MonsieurTariff. So, which is not very easy handle to remember.
We'll make sure we get them up on the outlet form, man. I appreciate you taking the time again, Joe.
Thanks, Harvey.
All right, take it easy, man.
Peace.
Peace.
You just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.